All right, what's up, everybody? Good morning. Man, it's good to be home. It is good to be home. Great to see you guys. And we missed you, too. I promise you that. And we are so glad to be back. Bethany and I had a little time off, a little vacation, and without the kids, amen. And so, because we love our kids, but, man, we really love each other. And so, but it was good, good to be home. And then after that, then I was in Alabama at our annual art conference, and, man, it was incredible. We had, man, just some incredible speakers from Hillsong, Pastor Brian Houston, and Carl Lentz, and then my man, I don't know if you've y'all ever heard of Pastor John Gray, but man, yeah, all right, yeah, my man has brought the heat down in Alabama, so it was great. If you haven't heard of Pastor John Gray, maybe you gotta go listen to him, he's good. But had a great time, refreshed, and good to be home. And then yesterday, this past Wednesday, my grandfather went to be with the Lord this past week, my grandpa Mills. And I just want to just say this. I want to thank you guys. And I realize some of you guys may not have even known that. It was all pretty quick. We had the funeral service yesterday. One of the most incredible honors of my life was being able to officiate that. It was very hard for me, difficult, but nonetheless, man, we wanted to honor him. And I believe we'd honored him well yesterday, and he was a wonderful, wonderful man of God and loved his wife and family dearly. And I wanted to just take a second and just say something about him. We put this picture up of him. There he is. And for those that don't know, he and my grandma, they were getting ready this next weekend to celebrate 63 years of marriage. And as you can imagine, this was a big deal to our family, the patriarch, matriarch of the Mills family. My grandma's going to need a lot of prayer. It's a long time to be with somebody, amen? But that's what I want to be like when I grow up. And so I want to have that kind of marriage. And so, but they helped start this church with us. Those two right there, and helped to be our original hospitality team that served the coffee, greeted people, and I'm telling you, they loved it. Smiles on their faces, and you would very rarely see them without a smile on their face. And so, man, I love my grandfather, and man, we're gonna miss him dearly. And there's no way he will ever be replaced. But I just want to honor him with you all today. Would you give my grandfather just a great big hand today? Would you do that? Yeah. Appreciate that. And he loved you guys. He loved this church. He loved you all very much. And so I just want to say again a big thanks to many of those that reached out to us. And again, if you didn't know about it, it's cool. I know it all happened quick. And so from texts and phone calls, emails for our family and social media, I mean, just thank you for being the church. And had several of you drive down and didn't have to do that. But I'll tell you this, man, when we saw your face, it meant the world for us. So just thank you so much on behalf of our family. Also, we've got some people, I think, in the house that are fresh out of their Freedom Conference this weekend. Do I have any people that are, come on, yeah, there they are, fresh out of Freedom. We had our Freedom Conference this past weekend. We share locations. It was in Defiance, Ohio, over Friday, Saturday. And if you're wondering what Freedom is our small group that takes place in our winter, spring semester and then in our fall semester. And we just believe God has a lot more for our life than just, man, just knowing him, but he wants to bring freedom to our lives as well. Amen, church? And everybody say, freedom, freedom is for everybody. Yeah, it's for everybody. And so these guys are ready, and I'm so excited. I heard great stories, great feedback, and we had, I think, five small groups, and just the reports and hearing from our leaders, and it was just amazing. And so, man, we love you guys. We honor you guys. All of our small group leaders, you know who you are. Man, I love you guys. Thank you for helping pastor and shepherd and helping people take next steps. Yeah, it's amazing. And so love you guys. Love you, Brandon. I'm proud of you. And thank God for you guys. It's incredible. So I didn't do something in the first service that I was supposed to. And they're going to jerk a knot my tail probably. And we'll have to put on social media or something to get the word out. But I do have a little bit of a building update. I was wanting to either say this at the end or the beginning. I didn't know. And so I don't want to forget. So I'm saying it now. All right. And so I forgot. We just had an incredible service this morning. And it was gone. So spread the word. But so this Wednesday, everybody say this Wednesday. is very important. We have been, over the last few months, I came to you, I believe it was at the 1st of February, and I told you I wouldn't really come back to you unless I had something of weight to tell you. And so Wednesday is a big day. I meet with the owner of this facility. We have been batting around a lot of numbers, and as I was on vacation and out in the conference over the last 2 weeks, I really feel like the Holy Spirit put on my heart to meet with him one-on-one with nobody else in the room. And so I know there's things I'm good at and there's things I'm not good at. The thing I'm good at is just vision and what I know God has given us to do. I don't claim to be a business guy because I'm not. And so I'm just going to stick to my strengths and just cast a little more vision. But God has been moving. And then also we have been working kind of a little bit going back and forth with our lender. We're a young church, and so this is a big deal for us as a young church financially, but here's the deal. So Wednesday morning, I meet with them, and I think that can determine, determine a green light or just a red light. I really do. I think it will determine our next step. And let me just say it this way. If it's not God's will for us and this is not the building, I'm cool. I'm not losing any sleep over it. I just know God has something else for us and we'll just continue the search. But I really didn't think this could be it. I really, really like this place and I really like the location and I really wish I could tell you where it is. And it's been hard for me to keep that zipped. Let me tell you. I know. Don't get mad at me. Just trust me in this, all right? But nonetheless, God has been moving. So here's what I want to ask you to do over the next 2 days. I'm just going to go in a time of prayer and fasting. And I just want to open it up. If you feel led to go into that with me, then by all means, join me. But how many will at least say, man, I'll be praying a lot over the next couple days for our church in this process? Thank you, guys. Yeah, amen. This is your church, amen? And so we're growing, and as we grow, we need more room, and we just want a permanent place. And so we just know God has what he has for us. All right? And so that's the update. And so it's a big one. And so we just know God's going to move and hope to have some kind of news soon to be able to follow back up with. But grab your message notes. If you already haven't, it's inside your worship guide. If you're here for the first time, just want to welcome you. So glad, man, that you guys are here today. We know you could be anywhere. So again, thank you so much for being with us this weekend. And again, inside your worship guide's message notes, you can follow along in the message that way or the screens behind me. But we've been in a series called Uphill Habits. How many is this helping you? Amen? Yeah, I think this has been one of the most strategic, I think one of the most practical, I think one of the most spiritual types of help, type of series and messages that we can do. And the feedback that we've been getting has been great. And I think what happens after Easter, and by the way, I just want to, because I haven't got to celebrate with you, how about Easter Sunday around here, y'all? It was packed out. 74 people made decisions for Jesus. Isn't that awesome? 74. And of that 74, 16 of them were kids. Awesome. I think it's awesome. I'm telling you, man, God's doing something powerful in our kids' ministry. There's more vision stirring back there than ever before. We're having our first summer blast. It's a VBS type of thing this summer. You'll hear more on that soon. And, man, God's doing incredible things with our kids. Our kids' ministry really is, man, just going to the next level. Amen? And so, but this has been a great series, I think, as we've come out of Easter. And as, you know, we shift into what's next for us and making decisions in our life. And so Aristotle said this, that we are what we repeatedly do. In other words, that we form habits and then our habits form us. And you and I are the sum total of what you and I do over and over again, whether that's good or bad. And so here's really just kind of the thought of this series. Jot this down if you would. Most people have uphill hopes and downhill habits. Most people have uphill hopes and downhill habits. Here's the thing about hope, though. Hope is a very good motivator, but it's not a great strategy. Hope is a great motivator, but it's not the complete strategy for your life. Hope will get you going, but it necessarily cannot keep you going. In other words, we need healthy habits, uphill habits. It's going to build us and help take us to the next level. And so the question is, over the course of this series, and Pastor Rob Yannock over the last 2 Sundays has, man, just done a great job. And one of the things that I think that's so important through this is, man, you just opening up your heart to God and saying, God, what is it in me that I need to do? And my hope is that the Holy Spirit is talking to you.
and challenging you to continue to grow. And so Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says this, fix your attention on God and you'll be changed. Everybody say this with me, from the inside out. Come on, everybody, one more time. You'll be changed from the inside out. There you go. Everything God does, he does from the inside out. If God has your heart, he has your life. Amen? And then it goes on to say this, readily recognize what he wants from you. Then check this out. And quickly, everybody shout quickly. Respond to it. In other words, when I think about the word quickly, I think about urgency. And I think about those that were just in Freedom Conference. And I'm just encourage those who went through Freedom Conference and the rest of us as well, that when God does something in you, quickly respond to it. Because it's so easy for the enemy to come and to try to distract you or to try to steal what God has placed in you. But when you've come to Christ, you are no longer who you were. You are somebody brand spanking new. Come on, somebody. Amen. And so that's who we are. And so I want to encourage you so quickly, God is saying, I want you to respond that when I'm talking to you, when I'm moving in you, when I'm speaking to you, when I point this area or areas out, that we respond to it. No, don't neglect it, because God's trying to do something and God's trying to work in that area of our life. I don't know about you, but I got a lot of areas that I need his help in. And so God is saying, hey, I want you to trust me, but I want you to quickly respond to it, because it's easy to get complacent. It's easy to say that, well, one day, someday, and man, someday's the enemy of today. You've got to quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. And my hope is so does Elevate City Church, that we do our part, and our purpose of our church is to, we believe God intended for us to take a journey together of knowing him, knowing God, finding freedom in our life. It's not just enough to know him and know about him, that God has freedom that he wants for all of us, amen? And then to go discover your purpose, and then to go make a difference. God intended for us to experience those four things in our life in a powerful way, and so that it develops well-formed maturity in you. John Maxwell said it this way. He said, everything that is worthwhile is uphill. And so in other words, everything, it's going to take great effort. It's going to be hard sometimes, but it's doable. Everybody say it's doable. And so over the last couple of weeks, just to do a quick review, Pastor Rob talked about week one. Our habit number one was that we've got to focus on first things. That whatever you do first sets the tone for everything else. Giving God the first of your day, first of the year. It's why we always begin January in our church with 21 days of prayer and fasting, because we believe in dedicating and giving God the first of our year, because we want the rest blessed. The first of finances, the first of things has the ability to bless the rest. And then the habit number two is, he talked about last week, is controlling my thoughts. Because how many know, man, your mind and your thoughts can jack you up. Because if my mind is a mess, my life is a mess. And so I realize that most of the battles in which I face in my life are battles that I've got to get won in my mind and have God and some of those thoughts held captive and needing the strength and the purpose of God. And so here's the habit that I want to talk to you about this morning, if you want to jot this down, and that is to keep my life aligned with my purpose. Keep my life aligned with my purpose. I have a doctor that I see that's in Indianapolis. And he does chiropractic work, and he also does acupuncture. And so I'll go see him from time to time when I just kind of need an adjustment or a needle stuck in my skin, yeah, because that feels so good. How many have ever had acupuncture before? A lot more in second service than first. There was like three of us in first. So, but it's a wild deal. It's a lot of needles that go in you one time, And I wasn't a believer at first until I went through it. Now I drink the Kool-Aid. I mean, it's like it works. And so I'm in it to win it now. And so, but I'll never forget that. And what's interesting is I can have a pain in one place, but a problem in the other. And what I mean by that is I'll never forget last fall, I tore a muscle in my shoulder. No idea how I did it, but I did it. And my doctor said, well, you got two options. You can either have surgery or we can do some injections, and maybe that'll work. And so I opted for the injection part, because if I would have done surgery, it would have kind of put me out for about 9 weeks. So I was like, I'm good. So let's try that and a lot of prayer. And so anyways, we did the injections, went through it. And then I'll never forget, I came in a few months afterwards, and I just told him, I said, man, my arm, my shoulder is throbbing. It is in so much pain. I was like, we got to do something. And he said, okay. He said, we're going to do something today. Now, he's also a man of faith. And it's actually one of the cool things when he does the acupuncture, man. He always prays over me. I just think it's powerful. And so, but anyways, and so he said, well, we're going to do something. So he laid me back on the table. And I'm laying back on the table. And in my right wrist, he sticks like 7 needles in my right wrist. And on this side, you know. And I thought, well, I said, doctor, that's my right wrist. Like, it's up here. Like, the shoulder. Like, you okay? Like, you know what I mean? Like, this side. And so he said, just trust me, Kyle. I said, you the man, you know. And so then he moved from my right wrist down to my left foot. And I was thinking, head, shoulders, knees, and toes. You know, I was just like, I thought, maybe we circling, doctor. I don't know what he's doing. So then he goes and sticks a bunch in my left foot. And I thought, this is weird, you know. And then he said, hey, I want you to raise your arm. Tell me how you feel. So I raised my arm. I said, well, there's still some pain there, but it's not as bad. He said, not good enough. We're going to do some more. So a couple more needles threw in. And then by the time he came back to my arm, he said, let's lift it up, move it around. I said, my pain's gone. I said, what happened? And what was interesting is something that he taught me, which I think has everything to do with what we deal with. And what it is called is, it's called referred pain. And that's where a lot of us are at. Here's what I mean. The pain is in one place, but the pain is not our problem. The pain was just reflecting the seriousness of a bigger issue that was going on. And so sometimes the pain and the different things that are going on in our life is really not the actual core of what's going on. It's reflecting a bigger issue that's going on within our lives. Talk to me, somebody. Are you getting this? And so I just think what's important and what's that we come to the understanding is we often try to fix the little things that go on with our life without trying to fix the main core or the main problem or the main issue that's going on, and we leave left unchanged because we never hit the core of the problem or the issue that's been going on in our life. And only the power of the Holy Spirit has the ability to operate on the seriousness and the issues of our heart and the issues of our life to be able to help us go through and push through whatever we have in our life. Can somebody say a good amen? And so we need the activity of the Holy Spirit in our life. I'll talk to you more about that in just a minute. But that's where I believe this, that I believe that one of the best ways that we can help pastor people to Elevate City, I want you to hear my heart in this, because I think this is so important, is not to help you solve your problems. One of our biggest responsibilities is not to just help solve people's problems. It's helping people find and discover their purpose. Listen, one of the hallmarks of this church is our growth track. People are in our growth track right now. It's at 11:15 during this service every week. We encourage people go to first service, then go to growth track. And so there's people back there right now in it. And it's finding and discovering their purpose. Because, listen, you have to have something bigger in your life than your problems. And when you have something bigger than your problems in your life, then you've got some things worth living for. And I don't know about you, but man, I wake up. You know, one of the things I do is I wake up every day and I think about you. I think about our church. I think about our community. I think about our city. Man, what's the kind of impact that we're having? What's the kind of call that we have and the mandate that we have for this city? How can we continue to equip and develop our people into leaders and into being who God has destined you and I to be? Listen, regardless if there's a title across your name or not, every one of us in this room is called to be a leader because you are an ambassador of Christ. Therefore, you and I are responsible to share and to proclaim the good news and to live that out. Can you say a good amen? And so here's the thing. Here's the other thing I know. To keep my life aligned with purpose is reminding yourself, I have a purpose. You can jot that down. Everybody say, I have a purpose. Come on, say it with some strength. I have a purpose. Everybody in this place has a divine purpose from God. Because in this life will never make sense for you until you align yourself to the purpose that God has for you. Psalm chapter 139 says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And some people would say, man, pastor, I kind of missed the boat on that one because I already messed that book up. I've already added a lot of extra chapters to that book. How many feel like me on that? I think I've added a lot of extra chapters to that book. But here's the cool thing about God, that God has this unique ability to make the last chapter he wrote still fit, regardless of how many chapters you and I have added to the book. And you know what that is? That's grace. You know what that is? That's unconditional love of a father. that only we can get from him. Ephesians 2:10 says we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which, check this out, don't miss this, which God prepared in advance. Everybody say in advance for us to do. Now, that won't mean a whole lot to you if you don't understand the context of what God is saying. So let me give you the context. God is saying this. In other words, God had the thing for you to do. The call that he placed on your life, he had that for you to do before he made you. Yeah, think about that. He had the thing for you to do, the call for you to do before you were made. He just didn't say, I'm going to create Kyle. What am I going to do with this short white boy? You know, I'm just trying to figure this out. How's this going to work with him? No. Thank God he didn't do that to me. Thank God he placed purpose, then created me. He looked at James and Hannah, and he said, James and Hannah, guess what? Before you're being made, I had this purpose in mind for you. For Jason, he said, hey, before I made you, I had purpose in mind. Here's your purpose. Now I'm going to make you. So he prepared it in advance. Everybody say, in advance. For us to do. And so I want you to understand that God makes no mistakes in his creation. He knew exactly what he was doing when he made you. You are not a copy of something else or somebody else. You are an original that God has uniquely and designed and put you together to make a difference in the earth today. And then it's incredible. So here's what I know. We need to live by design. This is not in your notes. This is free. We need to live by design, not by default. So here's what I'm saying. You got to live according to purpose. And a lot of people just kind of just live their lives, just kind of have the attitude, well, whatever happens, happens. And I'm just going to kind of live my life that way. But God is a God of purpose. There are no accidents with God, just appointments. He knows exactly what he's doing. All right? And because here's the other reason why we understand the habit number three, keeping my life aligned with my purpose, is this: because there's competition for my time and attention. How many have ever noticed that you have a lot of competition today for your time and your attention? How many know we're in that place, and as we're growing, man, we have that place in our life where there's a lot of competition. How many know this, that credit card companies have a plan for your life? Have a plan. They, can I tell you what? They want your wallet. They want to know what's in that wallet. And here's the key. You might want to write this down, because I think this is so important for us. If you let somebody else define your life, they will. If you let somebody else define your life, they're going to do it. So you have to decide how you're going to live your life, because if you don't make the decision, the world will make the decision for you. And you've got to be careful. I know I've been out a couple weeks. Can I just pastor you for a minute? Can I just help us? Is that cool? You've got to be careful of the voices that are speaking into your life. There are what I would call competing voices that want your attention more than, and try to distract you from the voice of God that needs to be evident in our life. The enemy's voice can be very present. The enemy's voice to try to sway us, to get us to quit. We had a powerful time this morning at the end of service, first service. We were literally in the front here praying with people on this subject of just alignment. And there's a lot of desperate people that are saying, man, I want my life to be in alignment with God's will. I don't want to just be doing my life my way. I want to be doing my life his way. But you've got to be careful, because there are wolves sometimes in sheep's clothing. And I'm here to just warn you and just kind of raise the red flag, so to speak. Because they may seem good on the outside, but they have an agenda for you on the inside. And their persuasiveness, if you're not careful, can persuade you right out of the alignment of God for your life. And here's what I'm saying. You can't allow people, listen to me now, you can't allow people that have no influence or authority to influence you. You need people who are honest with you, not impressed by you. Listen, the last thing I need in my life is a bunch of bobbleheads. Jesse, yeah, Pastor, Jesse, whatever, you don't do a thing wrong. No, yes, I do. Trust me. My stuff stinks just as much as yours does. Let me tell you, I ain't no Superman. There's only one Superman. Amen, everybody? And so we need those kind of people that will be honest with us, not impressed by us. And if we're not careful, it's easy to listen to the voices, and especially to the ones that will say the things that we want to hear versus the things that we need to hear. I'm preaching for a minute here. I'm going to continue to help us here, because I'm telling you, it can take you out of alignment. and away from. I've seen it for many years as I've been in ministry. We've got to be careful to always hearken unto the voice of God. And the enemy will always have something to say, and sometimes people will always have something to say, but who you got to stay close with is the voice of God and those who love you and that are for you, that have been there in the good and the bad, and that are pushing you towards Jesus. So I'm going to just kind of end this by giving you one just kind of key nugget. Can I help you just with the understanding if it's a right voice or wrong voice in my life? Let me give you two things really just to think about with this nugget. Does that person talk more about what they are for or what they're against? And here would be my follow-up. Does that person talk more about people, about what they're for or what they're against? Because I need to be around a life-giving person. The last thing I need, my God in heaven, is negativity. I mean, we got enough of that in the world today. And so I don't have time to hear it. We've got to just continue to lean into our relationship with God. The other side of this competition that for our time and our calendar is we try to do too much. And this is something that I'm working through as well. We're not good at everything, are we, everybody? We're just not. We're good at some things, but not everything. But our culture teaches a principle that more is better. That $1 is good, but $2 is better. All right? $1 is good, help me then, but they say two is better. They say one car is good, but they also say that what? Two is better. They say that one kid is good, but two kids are better. Some of y'all, not sure about that one. They say one wife is good, but two wives are wrong. 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 Story, there's a story of a seminary student. He asked his professor, if you look in scripture, Solomon had a lot of wives. And he asked him, he said, sir, he said, why do you think Solomon had so many wives? His professor took his time and responded back. He said, well, I think it was in Solomon's hopes that when he came home from work that day, that at least one of them would be in a good mood. As bad pastor. Bad pastor. Not in my house. Never, though. That's for sure. That's for sure. Bad pastor, sorry. Anyways, but that's funny right there. I don't care what you say. But let's move on. Let's move on. Here's what I know. Let me give you this, too. This is not in your notes. An overwhelmed schedule will often produce an underwhelmed soul. An overwhelmed schedule can often produce an underwhelmed soul. That we can get so busy and tirelessly working and doing all these other things, but still feel yet empty because we're not leaning in to purpose. I remember one of the most frustrating seasons of my life many years ago when I was not in ministry. And I was working for the Port Columbus International Airport and was in management doing some stuff there. But I was frustrated for a while until the Holy Spirit got a hold of me. And because it wasn't where I wanted to be, and I watched friends and ministry friends fly out, and they'd come and stop and see me, and I'm supposed to, you know what I mean? And like they're flying out, making a difference for the world, and here I am. Yeah. And I thought, you know, and God finally got a hold of my dysfunctional attitude and said, when are you going to allow me to teach you? When are you going to allow your heart to open up for the real purpose why I have you here right now? This isn't where you're going to be, but it could be a while longer if you don't get it together. So I said, okay, Lord, what is it? And then God just began to reveal purpose in my season. Sometimes where you're at may not be where you want to be, but it may be where God needs you to be. And the problem is that many times that we try to rush what God's trying to do when in the midst of it, you see it as a time problem and you see it as something to where, well, God's just late again. And no, he's always right on time, always on schedule. But I promise you, in the midst of whatever we're facing or going through, God's always trying to build greater character in us, greater capacity in us. Come on, somebody. And why? Because you are not taking your career into heaven. You're taking your character into heaven. He wants you to be the man and the woman that he's designed for you to be, not the way that anybody else or any company has designed you to be. Come on, somebody. Amen. And so we just got to keep leaning into that and understand. And we can't treat the different areas of pain. We've got to get an alignment. Ecclesiastes says this, better one handful with tranquility and two handfuls than toil and chasing after the wind. Man, it's so good. And here's the other thing is that because, this is why we got to stay aligned with purpose, because time is short. Time is short on two levels. Let me give it to you on two levels. First level is for your life. Because for every day that passes, you're one day closer to the end of your life. Amen. And I know that's like, ew, geez, thanks, Pastor, for the encouragement. My name's Kyle Mills. I'm here, and I want to help be your friend, all right? And so just we got to live with an understanding. And then second is this is what we believe. We're a church that believes in the end times and understanding that Jesus is coming back for his church. And that's the second level is we know Jesus is coming back and we expect his coming. I believe that we are closer than we've ever been to his coming. And some of us recently, just even this week, in the conference I was at, man, we're talking about just where we're at and how so many of the signs and the things has happened and then some, that there's an expectation that Christ is coming back, and it just very well be in this generation. And we're closest, and that's exciting to me, to know that we may be the generation that sees that. Don't know that for sure. Only God knows, but it excites me. And so all of our lives, think about it this way, we're living on limited time. Limited time. And so what are we doing? You know, I was thinking about my grandfather yesterday in the funeral. I thought the legacy that he left behind, and I thought about the impact in which he made on my family, but specifically the impact that he made on me. He was one of the nicest men I've ever met in my entire life, but he was also one of the most approachable, one of the most giving men that would, I'm telling you, in a moment, he would give the shirt off his back for you if you needed it. He was a giver, and that's who my grandparents have always been, and it's my hope that I can continue to grow in such a way because he taught me character, he taught me integrity, and he taught me what it is to just value people. And that's the way I want to live my life because I think that's the way Christ lived, amen? And the example that he gave us. James 4 says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city. Let me just, again, I want to, we miss the power of verses sometimes because we miss context. So this verse is starting out by saying this. Now, listen, you who say today or tomorrow. This is, in other words, not sure what we're going to do. I don't know if I'm going to make a decision today. I don't know if I want to make that change or get back in alignment, kind of like doing my own thing. Whew, good luck with that. I don't recommend you do that, but if you want to try it, good luck. But it goes on to say, now, listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city. I don't know, maybe. I don't know if we'll make a decision sometime. Spend a year there, carry on, make business, and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. In other words, none of us are promised tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while, and then it vanishes. Keep going. There we go. And instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. In other words, we want to live according to God's will and his plan, not ours. And so this is a thought that's been in this series I think is so good that I'll never change my life until I change something I do every day. I'll never change my life until I change something I do every day. And a lot of us want our lives to be changed, but we don't want to change what we do every day. That's the problem, all right? And so if you keep on doing what you've always done, then you'll keep on having what you've always had. So we've got to get aligned. Everybody say, we got to get aligned. And so I want to just practically give you a few things of mastering this habit that I think is so important. Number one is this, is to decide what is important. What's important? It's unfortunate that a lot of our lives are driven and are being defined by the urgent rather than the important. And we need to have our lives driven in such a way that we are driven by the important things and what we value. And, you know, I've been next to a lot of people in their dying moments, in their deathbed, in hospitals. I've never met a person in their bed say to me before they passed, man, Pastor, I wish I would have spent one more day in the office. I just never have. And I think there's three things that really matter when you're dying. And that's who loved you, and what you did for Christ. And I've been on my deathbed, so I can honestly say I went through those thoughts. That was the only thing I was thinking about. I wasn't thinking about anything else. And so here's what I'm encouraging us. We can't lose our priorities. And you cannot allow the unimportant to dominate you. Because what you tolerate today will dominate you tomorrow. So for some of us, we've been tolerating things in our life and that has gotten us out of alignment or outside the will of God because we've tolerated it. We've never made the changes. And now we're not just days in it, months in it. Now all of a sudden it went from 1 year to 10 years that we're now struggling with the same problem. But you and I serve a God, man, who is the bondage breaker, who is the chain breaker. And I'm just telling you today, no matter where you find yourself, God is able to step in any moment to be able to make a shift and a change in your life today. If you'll let him. And so be driven in a place that you understand what's priority and what's important. Philippians says, but whatever was my profit, I now consider lost for the sake of Christ. I love Paul, man. He said, what is more? He said, all the things I've gained and they earned. He said, what's more? He said, I just consider them lost. They don't mean anything compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish. Another version says, dung, poop. You know what that is, right? That's what he says. I consider them as such that I may gain Christ, because nothing is compared any more than gaining the power of Christ and what he has for our life. But the only way that you'll know and be able to experience all that God has is going all in with God. And for those of us, maybe we're in a place that we haven't experienced that going full all in with God. And if you haven't, you're missing out on his surpassing greatness and what he wants to do for your life. Here's the second thing that I think is critical, I think is very important, is you have to give calendar time to the important things. I think, in such competing culture with things happening, we got to give calendar time to the important things. A lot of people have values, but it never shows up on the calendar. So if you value it, you got to give it calendar time. Are you with me? And so if you value your marriage, you got to give it calendar time. So one of the things that Bethany and I do, we schedule out our dates. We make sure. Obviously, we got three kids, so we got to make sure somebody's going to help us. But why? Our marriage is important. We love our kids, but our kids are growing up, and they're going to grow up, and they're going to move out one day. The only one that can stay with Bethany's agreement is my daughter. The boy's got to go work. My girl's my girl. It's my only baby girl. So that was the deal anyway. But they all going to grow up one day. And guess who I'm still living with? Bethany. Guess who she's still living with? Me. And so how many know it's probably pretty important that we work on things now and not later. And so we choose to invest in each other today. And that's where you've got to make what's important. And even family times, we have family nights with the kids because we love our kids and we want them to experience time with mom and dad and having fun. And I think it's just incredibly important. Psalm 90 says, teach us to number our days and recognize how few they are. Help us, God, to spend them as we should. I want to give you something very quickly that I got from John Maxwell that is so good. And he just calls it the rule of five. The rule of five, and that is really just goals that you and I can help set to keep our life in alignment and in focus with God's will. So this is really what mine looks like. I think it would probably look pretty similar to what you would have, and I don't give these for your applause or anything like that. I just kind of want you to know where my value system is at, and then you can use the same ones or tweak it, whatever you want to do. But the first one is spend time in God's word, followed by studying God's word. So spending time getting to know him, but then studying him and just spending that extra time and getting to know a little bit further. One of the things that I do that's very simple that helps me is the one-year Bible. That helps me. It's in your Bible app. If you get it on YouVersion, it's the YouVersion Bible app. It's free. One of the greatest resources on your phone, all right? And they have devotionals, they have a bunch of stuff. But if you're friends with me on there, you know. You'll probably see I do the one-year Bible a lot. Sometimes I'll do some other things. And then sometimes I'll go away from the app and kind of do my own study. But just having the Word in my life daily. They even give scriptures daily on there. And for sometimes, can I just tell you, there's some days I just meditate on a verse. Don't get religious with it, gang. All right, God can just speak through a verse. You don't have to go through a formula. There is no formula, all right? Just relationship, amen? And so I would encourage you to do that. Here's the next thing. The third thing is love those closest to me. So I want to make sure I'm loving my wife well, loving my kids well, loving our staff, my staff that I have here well, and our leaders and you. I want to make sure those are the things that's most important to me that I have as my rule of five. And then make a difference in someone's life is the fourth thing. And that is simply this. We make this harder than what it is. It's like, well, how do I do that on a daily basis? I teach our leaders this. If you think it, do it. So if you have a person that pops in your head and you think, man, I wonder how they're doing, well, just reach out to them. That may be a text, maybe a phone call, maybe an email, I don't know, but just do it and respond back, amen? And maybe it's even at the coffee, maybe it's at the coffee shop and you buy a coffee for somebody. You can make a difference in a lot of different ways. And I'll just tell you, sometimes a text of just letting somebody know that you're thinking about them and praying for them will mean more to them than you can ever imagine. So make a difference. And then the last one is I want to take good care of myself. And this is something I've been learning more and more in the last little over a year, is taking care of myself physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, all those things, taking care of myself. Amen? Here's the other thing we got to do is make time for renewal. Refresh yourselves. Come on, you moms, you dads, business leaders, refresh yourself. Sometimes we try to fit way too much in our life. You have to honor the Sabbath. God placed that there for us as a principle that we need to live by, that we have a day that we slow things down. And I think it's a great test for you to take in your life, because the God principles work, everybody. He really does know what he's doing. You really can get more accomplished in 6 days rather than 7 days. 6 days he worked, but on the seventh day he rested. All right? And then give one day, that one day to God. Give a time of rest for your mind, your soul, your spirit. 2 Corinthians 4 says, therefore, don't lose heart. Though the outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Make time for relationships. We talk about this so much in our church. We are a church of small groups, not about them, of them. We do life together. We never want to see anybody do this thing by themselves. We never want to have a person sitting in the hospital room by themselves. Come on, somebody. We never want to see somebody in a funeral by themselves. Come on, somebody. We never want somebody hurting and doing this by themselves. We are a church of small groups that do this life together, and that's where you get discipled. We started this church with 3 small groups. Today, there's well over 40 of them, and so we are a church of them, and this is where the church big, because we're big on Sundays, gets small in the week, because everybody needs a place where somebody knows your name. Good preaching, Pastor. I appreciate it, guys. Here's the last one here on this part is make time for reward. Do something that's going to bring heavenly rewards. You're going to stand before God, and he's going to ask you about your commitment to him and what you did with what he gave you. And I think about the impact. A lot of times when we serve people, we're definitely making an impact on people, but oftentimes we're the ones really getting ministered to. I mean, I've as we have served, and even on Sundays and out in the streets and community, man, I'm telling you, I feel like I'm the one that benefits the most, is when we get to serve somebody. And I'm telling you, it's important. I'll never forget a few months ago, we had the snow going on, which I heard there's still been snow going on while I was gone. I'm so glad I missed that. Thank you, Jesus. And just praying for y'all. But nonetheless, good Lord, in April. But a few months ago, when we had snow on a Sunday, I'll never forget. I just felt bad for our team. And our parking lot is, they do amazing. Hayden, the whole team, they just do amazing. I'm so proud of those guys. Whether it's raining, they're out there. They got umbrellas for you, and they help our elderly in. Isn't that awesome, guys? They're helping park cars because our parking lot is just packed, and so they're helping to maneuver and work those things out. But it was snowing that day, and I just felt bad. And I just said, man, I told Hayden, I said, man, I just feel bad. I'm sorry, you know, that you guys are. And he just kind of put, he said, no. He just in a loving way looked at me and he corrected me. He said, Pastor, he said something along these lines. He said, this is the most important thing we do all week. He said, we're here to make a difference, and that's why we're here. And I just think that's a great big picture of our dream team, and our dream team rocks. Come on, put your hands together. Every weekend, they're serving. It's awesome. It's incredible. Here's the third thing. Come on up, worship team. Eliminate the non-essentials from your life, the things that don't matter. Watch this. Don't make a to-do list. You ready for this? Make a to-not-do list. That's going to help some of us. Make a to-not-do list. Not a to-do list, but a to-not-do list. And we are making decisions all the time. Figure out what's important. You know, we were in a time last fall with our daughter where it was talking about trying to play maybe 2 sports at one time, and Beth and I just made the decision. We just said no. And I just want you to hear my heart on this, and this is just for us and our family, and you've got to make the decisions best for you. So I just want you to know my heart. There's no condemnation, nothing, but we just made this decision together that one sport. That's what you're going to do. And so if you're going to play in a sport, it's not going to be two in the same season. You can do one. And then that if you're required to have to play on Sundays, you're just not going to play on Sundays. You're going to be in God's house. You're going to be growing in kids' ministry. You're going to be with mom and dad, and that's just the way it's going to be. And that's the way I was raised. It's the way I was raised with my mom did that with me, and it helped me. And so I just know that we can get so busy. And we can get so hectic. And you know your schedule is busy when you say it's time to eat at the dinner table and everybody runs to the car. You know, you might be too busy. Too busy. Man, that just didn't fly today. All right. I tried in first service. I tried in second service. I will never use it again. All right. I thought it was funny. Maybe you need more time to think. That's cool. That's all right. Hebrews 12:1. My corny PastorJokes.com. All right. I don't know if that's a real website, but anyways, it's mine. Hebrews 12:1, it says, let's throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles. Let's run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And here's the fourth and final thing, guys, that I think is so important to help us with uphill habits. You have to regularly take inventory of yourself. It's hard to look in the mirror, but you have to have mirror moments. The great theologian Michael Jackson said it best. I'm talking about the man in the mirror. And we need man in the mirror moments with God. Amen. Galatians, I think it's 4, chapter 5, talks about let a man examine himself, examine his works. I think this is so crucial and so important. So I just want to end the service this way. I just want a moment with you guys today and just want to ask that you don't move around or get up during the next couple of minutes, because I just want this moment here, because I just really feel like God is challenging us in a way today. And challenging us in such a way that he wants us to stay in alignment. And maybe you, throughout this message, maybe the Holy Spirit is showing himself to you. I just want to say we need the activity of the Holy Spirit in our life. We can't do this without our friend, the Holy Spirit. Listen, the power of the Holy Spirit and who he is doesn't make me better than you. He makes me better than me. That's why we need the Holy Spirit moving and activating in our life. Are you with me? And so I want to encourage you today that wherever you find yourself out of alignment, you're not too far gone. God is here. The Bible says in Psalm 39, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered and my life is fleeing away. My life is no longer than the width of my hand. An entire lifetime is just a moment to you. Human existence is but a breath. So I want you just to bow your heads. I want to pray for us. And I want to pray for those today that, and I believe that it's probably, I would say most, if not all of us, that we find ourselves in a place that we need to make sure that either we're staying in alignment or getting back into alignment again. So Holy Spirit, right now, we can't do this on our own. We need you to move. And so Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we just ask, Father, for the power of your Spirit to quicken us. God, even here this morning, maybe there's an area or areas that we need to get in alignment and we need to get back in the center of your will again. God, forgive us for getting out of your will or out of alignment, and bring us back into the safety of your love and your hands again. Father, we need you. And so, Father, and I just also pray that your love and your peace would overwhelm us in such a powerful way today. And may we feel it in the name of Jesus. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I just want to give you an opportunity today, an opportunity to know him personally, relationally. That's what it's all about. And for some of us, that is your alignment piece. It's getting in alignment in a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus. And I just want you to know he loves you. So on the count of three, in just a moment, if that's you, I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come to the front. Just lift your hand where you're at and say, man, Kyle, that's me. Because I'm going to pray with all of us. But if that's you, say, man, Kyle, that's me. I want to join you in that prayer today. Come on, all over this room with every head bowed. One, two, three. Come on, hands go up, go up. Yeah. Come on, awesome, awesome. Praise God. Gotcha. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to lead you in a prayer. Come on, just mean this prayer with everything within you today. And say, Jesus, I give you my life. My heart belongs to you. Forgive me of my sins. And cleanse me of my past. Thank you today for saving me and loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's what we're going to do. Would you stand to your feet? And, you know, I just came in this morning. I told first service. I said, you know, guys, I don't know. I thought you know, I didn't know if this was for me, but it wasn't. Sometimes when we come in on a Sunday morning, and we've had, especially if we've had some tough weeks, sometimes it's just hard to kind of lean in. But you need to know when you're here, man, it's safe to lean into God. And then the power of worship has the ability to get your mind off of how big you and I think our problems are, and to put our mind and our spirit in the place of comfortability and understanding and being reminded how big our God is. And I just felt like today, I wanted to remind you, I got to ask the worship team just to sing this song again in just a moment. But can I just encourage you today and remind you of how big your God is? Like, I don't know what some of you are facing, but I felt this so strong when I came in here today in both services that some of us are facing some stuff. But can I tell you what your posture must be and needs to be is worship, and declare that whatever it is that you're facing and going on, that you're not telling God how big the mountain is, but you're telling your mountain how big your God is. Amen, everybody? So they're going to sing, and I just want you to open up your heart to God. And we're just going to take a couple more minutes in worship. Can we do that, everybody? Come on, guys.